I realize that no institution is perfect, but we have to be mindful that how we brand things, because that can keep us out of those rooms. Whether it's the banking that did terrible things to us as a community, does that mean we shouldn't become bankers? Whether it's the police, there's been police violence in our community, does that mean we should not be policemen? No, we have to be in all these rooms. And I firmly believe as a man, part of my responsibility is to be able to protect. But I'm also, believe it's also part of my responsibility to also build.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
BEP is on fire. Our audience is growing fast and the impact is real. Now is the time for your brand to grow with us and reach a highly engaged, influential community with real spending power. Don't miss this moment. Email us today at media@tonytidbit.com. Let's make it happen and put you and your brand in front of the people that matter. We are coming to you live from the BEP studio for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. Before we get started, we always like to remind you to check out our partners at Code M Magazine, whose mission is saving the black family by first saving the black man. Check them out at CodeMMagazine2Ms.com.
Definitely check them out. And the question I have for you today is, what does it mean to move with purpose when the pressure is real, the stakes are high, and the system was never built for you? Well, today, we sit down with Wesley Alexander, CEO of CoBiz Richmond, to have a conversation about discipline, faith, public service, entrepreneurship, and stewardship. We will explore what it looks like to use your gifts responsibly and why purpose is not about personal branding. It's about responsibility. This episode is all about leadership under pressure, building institutions instead of complaining about them, and doing more as stewards for the next generation. Wesley Alexander, my brother, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Thank you, Tony and Chris. It's a pleasure to be here, and I love the purpose of this podcast and the stories that we get a chance to tell and share.
Bro, we didn't ask you for all that
shit. You got to get it, man.
No, I'm teasing, bro. I'm teasing. No, thank you, my brother. Thank you. We appreciate that.
For sure.
So before we dive head deep into this, because this is going to be a deep one, tell us a little bit about where you currently reside and where you're from.
Yeah, so currently I'm in the Bay Area. After I finished grad school in Washington, D.C., came out to the Bay Area, worked for startup companies just to kind of get a feel of the best practices in regard to doing business. And I was only able to come out here for 2 years, and now I'm here a little bit longer than that. So it is what it is.
Are you there now? Yeah. You one of theirs. You one of theirs.
I'm on both sides. So I got both sides. Jersey. Now I'm on the West Coast. Yeah.
Okay. That's what's up. Bi-coastal. So you give me a little bit more of that as far as you coming out there after grad school. Give me a little bit of your journey, your career journey, and kind of what boxes you've checked off thus far.
Yeah. So initially I went to school thinking pursuing medicine, but while I was in Baltimore, Maryland, I was running a mentoring program pretty much all 4 years with my bros, and in one of the areas where, you know, all the jobs were removed for our people, the schools didn't allow the kids to bring books home. And so I started really thinking while I'm in undergrad, what affects our communities? I'm like business and law, but I'm like, I don't have any experience in that. So I was like, you know what? I don't think medicine is the way I'm supposed to go. My parents didn't really like that, but I felt like having a calling to do something different. And I decided to pursue a JD MBA. And so I went to American University and really had a focus on business law, as well as finance and entrepreneurial management. And I was like, well, where are business practices happening at? Where's like the MBA of it? And I was like, well, Silicon Valley in California is a space and place where those things are happening. And so I was fortunate to get the opportunity to come work with Intel. And from that opportunity, I got a chance to also work with a joint venture between GE and Intel on medical device and cloud technology. And this was like back in 2010, before people kind of were even familiar with that type of technology. And so really got a chance to see business from a mature company perspective, but also from an early stage, seed stage type of perspective as well. Got a chance to manage almost $500 million in budgets in terms of supporting the work and just really seeing, okay, what does it take to bring a product to life? And then how do you interact with the sales team, the back-end team in terms of the developers? What about the compliance side of things? So just got a chance to see a whole overview of business, and I was really appreciative of it as well. And from there, I ended up actually about four years working with the FBI as a special agent in New York as well as here in California. And the good thing about that particular experience is that I got a chance to see from a domestic, national, and even like international perspective, what does it take to serve publicly, but then how does it interact, how does it impact our communities? And now one thing I noticed is that with our communities, we don't always have knowledge of how things work. And as a result, we're making decisions out of ignorance that can hurt us, you know, in terms of like, what does it take to keep our communities going? How do we recognize that threats are being targeted on our communities, but we're completely unaware? We don't know how to recognize them, right? So it was just a good experience from there. And while I was in that particular space, I was like, you know what? God called me to build. So I can protect, but I also can build. And that's why I ended up transitioning to co-biz in terms of like really being in the heart of a community where there was a serious need in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of community development, in terms of best practices, in terms of how to put the foundational resources in place so that we can build sustainable communities, sustainable institutions. And so that also is other things, but yeah, I think that's enough for now.
All right, cool.
Buddy, that's fantastic. What a fantastic background, buddy. I can't wait till we dive in. But speaking of that, my man, look, you're busy, buddy. You got a lot of stuff going on. You have a company that you're running. You're doing a lot of things within the community. So the question I have for you is, why did you want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast, talk about this topic?
To me, you know, our gifts didn't come from us. For me personally, came from God. For me personally, Jesus, and in terms of just giving my giving all the attribution to him. And in that spirit, it's like none of us are really more special than anybody else. It's just really about how are you using your gifts to serve your family. Your family's well, then your community can be well. Your community's well, then your region can be well. Your region can be well, your state, from your state, your nation, right? And so I think for a lot of us as men, or anyone who's very gifted, like how are you using your gifts? Are you using it selfishly, or are you using it to make literally the people around you better? And I think that's what life is about. And when we think about the harm that's been done in our communities when it comes to redlining, or for those of us that are Black executives trying to break through those different ceilings, who is actually paying it forward and paying it back? I know here in Silicon Valley that when the Indian community came into Silicon Valley and other groups, they really worked together to see a collective, to see the collective have impact, have opportunities, have access. But I didn't see that with many of us when we were in those particular arenas. And so it's not rocket science. You know, you have to do things together. But if you're thinking selfishly, we're always gonna be isolated and easily targeted for like, hey, Tony's coming up, we gotta slow him down. But if people know Tony has an army behind him, they're gonna leave him alone.
Buddy, I love it, man. Look, bro, you chomping at the bit here, right? You ready to talk about it, my brother?
I think I am, let's go, I'm ready.
All right, man, let's talk about it. I love what you're saying.
Yeah. So you talked about your leadership and faith, values and stewardship, things of that nature. As the child of immigrant parents, yes, you know, from Grenada, yes, right? Sir. Your folks from Grenada? Yes, so that is a story that's quintessential to hard work, dedication, things of that nature. How did they and that lineage, as well as some motivators or mentors in your past, help shape the man that you are today?
Well, I always want to give much love and just credit to my parents. I saw them, well, before I was born. I got a chance to, I put it this way, I know their stories before I came into existence, right? And I'm like, wow, they really had to hustle and make things happen, right? But then they also, without having all the knowledge of how things work, wanted to make sure that there were certain values that they imparted into me. And I saw them make sacrifices to say, hey, we want to see you have a quote-unquote better life, right? And so just observing, they didn't complain. They worked together. Everything wasn't perfect, right? But they worked together, and they created an environment for my sister and I where we can have, where we can pursue the opportunities in our life. They also made sure we were connected to our family. So our grandmas, our aunts and uncles, right? So then we got a chance to see our elders and learn from them and be in those spaces and places where it's like, hey, they're not speaking to you, but you can listen. You know your place, right? There's different things. Additionally, I just like always want to acknowledge the. I recognize when I got to when my parents came to this country, it was interesting that at times there was like a disconnect between what is Africans, West Indians, or traditional Black Americans, right? And ironically, for me as a kid, I'm looking like I know our history. I'm thinking about our people here in the U.S., our people in the South America, people in the islands, and people in Africa. And I'm like, hey, we all are fighting against the same challenges. But we're letting our differences keep us apart and not understanding that that was intentional. So for me, it was like, you know what? A person like Paul Robeson is someone for me to admire, knowing his journey. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, you can just go on and on and on. And it's like, these are folks that had the spirit of the wellness for people. Even Lumumba, in terms of like his work in Mandela, like different folks, right? And it's like, hey, y'all. We got to change our perspective. And so that was something that I was really passionate about because I knew that some of the opportunities I was afforded came from sacrifices of those that were here in this country for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then I also understood from a historical perspective that we have family in the States and in the islands that people don't even know about because of how, you know, how the institution of slavery was imparted onto us, right? So for me, it was like, we got work to do, and we got to really do better in terms of connecting and building relationships.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilab's protein bars are crafted with high-quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched-chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
Let me ask this question real quick before Tony jump in. So did your sister also disappoint your parents in her career choice and not go to medical school and whoop-de-woo? Or how did she, it was just you was the black sheep?
No, honestly, for me, I actually, I kind of like had like a passion for sports medicine. And that was just my own thing. I think for them, I think it was by going to my senior year, they're like, what, you going to change your major? And I'm like, I'll keep it, but this is the pathway I believe I'm being called to. And I understand, you know, out of respect to any parent, parents sacrifice a lot. Yep. They want the best for you. They want to minimize the risk. So I do understand their perspective. But, you know, you kind of have to pray on things. And also everything has a risk to it, you know.
That's what's up. Look at you now. I mean, I'm sure they take all the gifts and stuff that you sent home. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that they rock with you.
I think they're appreciative for sure in terms of seeing the man I am. But I think they also, parents just want to know that everything is smooth. But it's like, that's not how life goes, though. You know?
It's a good lesson. Yeah.
So true, buddy. So true. Look, my brother, you know, just sitting here listening to you, you're so well grounded. And obviously your parents have a lot to do with that. I would imagine your sister is grounded as well. And obviously you're grounded in faith. They taught you a certain amount of values and standards. And then obviously you've dove into your history, okay? And understanding our people, some of the things that we go through. And some of those things have led you to do the things that you do. Yes, sir. Which is great. And one of the things you talked about was about, you know, what Chris and I call the divide and conquer strategy, right? Is if you can divide them, you can control them. If you can get them fighting, like you said earlier, that we're arguing about minute differences, right? Then this way they can't come together. And as long as they're not together, then we can continue to hold power, right? Now, all that being said, we know that there are certain people that are trying to do, you know, I don't want to say the right things, but are trying to bring the community together collectively, are trying to, you know, create economic power and economic base. And then more importantly, you know, taking up challenges and really diving into the community to really help the community. The question I have, though, is that we all have egos, okay? And then we have a purpose. Right. And then, you know, sometimes they cross pollinate. OK. Or, you know, especially we talk about ego. So the question I have for you, how do you know when you're operating in purpose versus your ego? Because everybody's got an ego. Everybody wants to be felt, and everybody wants to say, look what I did, and I did this. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? But at the end of the day, you still also have a purpose. So talk a little bit about that, my brother.
All right. I'll try to. No offense to any of the ladies that are watching this, but us as men, and for those that are women in leadership, anyone in leadership, you're supposed to be forward thinking. There is going to be times when you have conflict. We have to be able to have conflict resolution skill sets so that we can find that middle ground to keep things moving forward. But what we have is, I don't like Tony, I don't like Chris, so then all the assets that we both have, that we bring to the table, the networks that we have, are now completely vanished because we
separated.
Talk. We won't have conversations with each other to find, hey, is there a middle ground? Can we realize that we are not the enemy? We may just have a personality conflict, and being able to have that maturity to put our egos in check for the greater purpose. Your kids, your grandkids may need an opportunity one day. I may know somebody. Because we have this relationship, now we can have that conversation. And instead of them going into an atmosphere that doesn't want to pour into them, they can come into an atmosphere that can allow them to incubate. We're not saying our kids need to be treated with hand gloves. But if we look at other groups, there's space and time for the kids to incubate the skill sets, the emotional intelligence to be able to go into the world. But we kind of look at our kids and say, put him in any environment, and well, he's not strong enough. Well, most kids aren't as strong as everybody else. So we need safe spaces for our kids to be able to do things. So when we put our ego in perspective, is it about us or is it about the kids coming behind us? And I think that's the way we can kind of check ourselves when it comes down to it.
Buddy, I love that. I love it. And speaking of ego, look, my man, you spoke a little bit about it when we kicked off the episode about your bio, right? You went from, you know, entrepreneurship to the FBI and then back, okay? And let's be fair, though, too. You know, you said earlier about, you know, you were there and you were able to get a glimpse in terms of the things and how they look at our community, how they operate in our community, how they attack our community and stuff to that nature. And then you said, hey, it's important for us to understand those things because some of the decisions that we make, we're making decisions, and I'm quoting you, in ignorance because we don't know, right? So the first question I have is, what drew you to become an FBI? Because you're already in corporate. You're already doing some transformational stuff in the tech world. What drew you to that? And then the second question is, what did you learn by being in the FBI in areas that we don't know as a community that we really need to pay attention to?
Well, you know, first thing, most of us don't understand even how our town or our city works. But there's all these different institutions that are necessary in order to provide services and in order to protect what does exist. And for me, I didn't have any of that knowledge or exposure in that type of way. And for a lot of us who are trying to make a difference in our community, whether locally, regionally, statewide, whatever the case is, you have to prepare. You have to expose yourself to how things work so that when someone proposes a problem to you, can you offer a solution, or are you just giving your hey, I think this is what we should do? When I go to a doctor, I expected that he has trained a number of years and continues to do the continuing education so that when I speak with that doctor, he can share something with me that I know is coming from an informed place. And so for me, that was really what my driving factor, which is I believe in public service. I realized that no institution is perfect, but we have to be mindful that how we brand things, because that can keep us out of those rooms. Whether it's the banking that did terrible things to us as a community, does that mean we shouldn't become bankers? Whether it's the police, there's been police violence in our communities, does that mean we should not be policemen? No, we have to be in all these rooms. And I firmly believe as a man, part of my responsibility is to be able to protect. But I'm also, believe it's also part of my responsibility to also build. And different people have different gifts and different skill sets. So that was attractive to me. And in terms of learning, there are some phenomenal people within the FBI that have done phenomenal things to serve and protect our communities. And I think that also should be known. There are academies where our young people can get insight into what does it mean to even be in the FBI or to be in the, let's say, the Parks and Recreation or whatever departments. But a lot of times we find out about these things when we're 30 and 40. Why can't we be in place so we can water for all these opportunities to our kids and let them make an informed decision? Hey, I'm a great swimmer. I could be on the scuba team doing things within my city when something happens, right? It could be anti-terrorism. It can be doing stuff with sex trafficking. There's a wide range of stuff. And for me, I just want our people to know what is possible because we've been redlined out of information and they have used fear and good branding to kind of say, hey, that's not for us. Because why do we have you verify those facts to understand what is happening? So that's my perspective. We have to sometimes be in those rooms and come from an informed place of what is happening at a local level, national level, and international level. Because if not, we're going to be on the junior varsity team, and we weren't built to be JV. So.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
It's interesting because you seem to be so, have a lot of activism, have a lot of forward thinking and imbued leadership in your spirit. So you being the feds just doesn't make sense to me. But in that regard, being able to tap into avenues that we classically don't get an opportunity to see behind the curtain, what was some of the greatest leadership exposures or experience? Because the one thing that the feds have is finances and authority. Correct. And so although you could accumulate finances, the one thing that's difficult for us to have in this country is a measure of authority. But when you come in and flash something or say, hey, I'm with them, all that stops. Yeah. So how do you translate that? Why'd you walk away from that? Because that would have been the elixir for me, that authority and rush. That.
And then let's throw in the resources too, though, yes, right? Yes. They got absolutely unlimited resources, yep. Right?
So for me personally, I observe a number of people who are great at protecting. But for me, I'm observing communities are breaking down, not just Black communities across the country. Our small businesses are struggling. You're seeing challenges where our young people, we're seeing our elders not being cared for. And it's like, well, who's out there building something to protect? Who's out there making sure that this pipeline of opportunities that people can access so they can take care of themselves and take care of their families? And I'm pretty creative in terms of being able to, someone can share an idea with me and I can help them put the pieces in place for them to take it from an idea to operation. And then, hey, you're looking at scale, well, here are the people you should talk to, or here's some of the things you should be doing to facilitate access to capital and different things of that nature. And so I was like, well, I believe God wants me doing that work, not protecting things that are important to protect, but also who's making sure that, for example, I have an elder here. He's about 75 years old now. He was a one-man band for 25 years doing phenomenal things in the community to deliver impact. But I'm like, hey, we need to incubate you. We need to help you get a board so that you're not doing everything. We need to make sure that there's something that can be transferable to, after you decide to retire, put in the hands of someone else so that it doesn't just fizzle away. We need people who have those gifts, who have been in these particular rooms doing this type of work. But we also need relationships. So when there's an issue, who can we call to support us? There's sex trafficking going on in our communities. There's drugs. There's all kind of stuff happening, right? But there are things that we can do as men to mitigate those things. But if we're going to say we're building a strong community, we have to have ambassadors. We have to have people in the rooms that can have the conversations and speak the language. If not, we're going off of a I'm not a Fed. I'm not a businessman. I'm a human being that's using my gifts to serve people. So whatever space and place I'm in, I'm making sure I'm moving with that respect and that authority that God gave me, not what the badge gave me. Here's a good example. We had a situation and the lady that we were, the boyfriend that was a target, the young lady was going off. She was not having it, right? And the folks were thinking that, hey, I have the badge and I have a gun and therefore I'm telling you to be quiet. You should shut up and just follow. But what they didn't realize is that all you need to do was talk to her. You didn't need to do that. Your authority didn't come from the badge or the gun. These are things that sometimes people don't always get exposed to, which is like, your authority doesn't come from these things. Your authority comes from understanding who you are and what you're doing. And once you have that perspective, you can walk in any room. You can talk to the president, a CEO, a person who's unhoused, someone who's food insecure, and you can establish a relationship with them. And that relationship is the most powerful thing, not your title.
Let me ask you this, though, bro, just so we're clear. So what was your role? You were a special agent. Like, well, specifically, what did you do? And what area were you in?
So I won't go into too many details, but I say I've been exposed.
I can't go too deep, though, right? I'm still undercover.
No,
I'm teasing. But no, I kind of figured you can keep it high level, but just keep it high level.
You know, there's things like counter proliferation. People are like, is that only with nuclear energy and things of that nature? No. You, Mr. Tony, you have extreme knowledge and insights into the companies that you work for. People may want to see what you got going on, right? So they can exploit your knowledge to do something for a competitive company, or it could be for a country, right? Terrorism, gang stuff, there's so much things I got a chance to see. And the beauty of it was I got a chance to meet real people that had real values, that were literally sacrificing their time with their families to make sure that we're okay. People that went against the mafia back in the 80s and 90s, I got a chance to spend quality time with and really understand what did it take so that, you know what, your podcast is not someone knocking on your door saying, hey, every time you get that check, send 35% of that
mafia. Yeah. Try to shake me down, right? Yeah.
So these are real things. In any community, any nation, there's going to be good people and bad apples, right? But part of the thing is that, can we waterfall the knowledge and really put systems in place for our young people to have access and knowledge of how things work so they can protect themselves as well as pursue the dreams that God has given them?
You know what's amazing about that, and what's amazing about your story thus far, is that you embody a culture of collaboration. And one of the things that we see people who have authority do more often than not is abuse said authority. And they don't think, like you said, the first step is, I got this badge, I got this gun, you got to listen to me, I'm this person, I'm that person, I got this money, whatever. But you seem to have an inclusive type of spirit. Have you always been that way? And has there been any roadblocks to you being so collaborative in your workspaces?
Well, I'll say I'm both. I know when to, you know, like, you, imagine you guys, whether it's with your kids or your friends, there's a time and place to use different tools you have, right? So there's an atmosphere for collaboration, and there's a time to utilize your authority to achieve a particular outcome. It's knowing what the atmosphere is and when it's appropriate. And sometimes people don't pick up on those cues, unfortunately, but I think that's where it's like, if you want to be a leader, you have to prepare yourself to understand that these are, in any arena, you have to make these judgment calls, but do you have awareness of that? If not, you can totally miss that your team needs to have your team might need to just convene on an off work type of activity just to connect. But if you're not paying attention to those things, you might not get the best productivity or even loyalty from them, right? We're human beings, and I think that's really what it comes down to it.
Yeah, but I think this goes back to what we talked about earlier, right? Ego and purpose, okay? So if it's ego, I got a badge and a gun, do what the hell I tell you to do, right? That's ego. Purpose is to what you're saying, is that, hey, I'm here to protect our citizens, and obviously we're in a very emotional state. So I need to first think how I can calm them down and de-escalate, right? Versus going to my ego saying, I got this badge, so you better listen to me, or I'm going to run. You see my point here? And that's how those two things can, you know, cross-pollinate. And then now, because of ego, you forgot what you're really there for. And to be fair, let's be fair too, right? Because some people get into those jobs because of ego,
yes, exactly.
Okay? Because it makes them feel that they think now they're more value, right? And they think by having this title and all these type things, they're now on a whole nother pedestal. But inside, they're really not, right? But they're hiding behind. I used to be in the Army. We used to say that, right? Like, you got those stripes. But at the end of the day, if you took those stripes off, you ain't shit. All right? And that's just real, yeah, right? And this is why you will stay in this forever. You can never go back home, because at the end of the day, you're nothing without the stripes, right? And so that happens a lot. And that's where that ego will overcome what your purpose is, right? But let me ask you this, though, bro. You, like I said, Chris said earlier, you got a very transcendent background. So you also create a company called Athletes by Athletes, right? Preparing the life after the spotlight. Speak a little bit about that, what that is, and why did you do it?
Yeah, so this, so I have two of my co-founders, Brother Pat and Brother Gerald. They're both former athletes, Division I athletes. We just all were like, you know what? What would generate impact for the athletic community? We know a lot of stories and narratives are just either you can just be an athlete. Why can't you be an engineer and an athlete? Why can't you become the next CEO of a company and be an athlete, right? So in that spirit, we really wanted to create something that we believe is transformative, and the mission of it really is to reinvent what it means to be an athlete for the lifetime of the athlete as a human being first, and then as an athlete second. And we want them to truly understand their value, like from their habits, their discipline, the experiences, and really position them for life-changing opportunities. And so it's a combination of, can you literally open the app and on the globe, see where athletes are all across the world, and just filter by different sports to see people. You might be in a community where there's no one else that's excellent at hurdling, and your coach can't give you the information. You might go on YouTube, but imagine you can connect with someone who was a former state champion at hurdling, right? Now you can get some mentorship. You might not be going to play in college, but you might be the top three-point shooter in the region. You can go on there in the marketplace and offer your services to teach people how to become great at shooting three-pointers, right? You might also want to say, hey, My playing days are over, but I can see there's someone who is 35 years old and now is a director of finance at a bank, and you may be able to see, hey, I see you took this same athletic career pathway. How did you get there? Now there's these opportunities for you to do business, make connections, kind of find additional competition that you may not discover in your own local neighborhood, and really just transform your mind about opportunities globally and in terms of playing, but then after you're done playing, that there's a world of opportunities out there beyond the sport itself. And that's what we want our athletes to really tap into.
You always tend to, well, it seems as if everything that you do is about the infrastructure for wellness, right? And you're always tapping into collaboration and cultivation of the community and making connections, right? You're a Nexus leader in that regard. A lot of times it's difficult for us for athletes. It's difficult for athletes to go beyond the pale of what they identified themselves as, because from a young age, especially if you're a top tier athlete, you're identified as your sport or your position or whatever the case may be. And so that matriculation onto life, think about a Maurice Corrette or somebody like that. It's hard for them to turn the page because all they've ever known or been praised for was this athleticism. Yeah. And then when the speed go and the hips slow, now you know what I'm saying, you don't know where you are or who you are. In those conversations with former athletes, how do they tend to, or do you have conversations with them as far as how to ingratiate themselves in this connective tissue that is the community that you're building?
It's critical. I mean, when we think about any community, let's just take a basic business perspective. You have people been with a company for a long time. They have tribal knowledge. They have insights that someone who is new to the company just does not have. It is super valuable to the company to have that person provide either some mentoring or, hey, shadow me a little bit, learn the in and outs, right? The same thing applies to any community within your family. You have elders and grandparents for a reason, patriarchs and matriarchs. What's the intention of them? They've seen it. They've done it. They can help us avoid certain pitfalls. With the athletes on this platform, we want those that are currently student athletes in high school, collegiate, pro, semi-pro, or those who are retired, because they have value throughout the life cycle of an athlete. Someone who's like a weekend warrior, they still may want to still improve their 5K time. Well, you know what? Connect with someone who's been doing it exceptionally well, and you know, patronize them for their expertise, right? So you show respect by patronizing them, or they may want to just volunteer some knowledge, right? They may want to do their own TED Talk on the platform, but we need the entire community involved, because athletes, when they're marginalized as just an athlete, it totally limits their opportunities and how they see the value of what they're doing. Brother Maurice, for example, he has physically he was gifted, but he had intelligence as a running back. He can be sharing that intelligence and being able to sustain himself as an entrepreneur just having that perspective if it was ingrained in him at an early age. We're hoping this platform can ingrain these type of perspectives. Hey, as a human being, you have transferable life skills. You waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so you have discipline. Your eating habits were on point. You were juggling school and you were juggling sports at the same time. That's very valuable to companies where they're looking for leadership and they're looking for people who can handle dynamic environments. So we start influencing them to understand their value. They're going to realize there's a life beyond sports, no matter what happens with the sport. And that's what we really want to transform their minds about.
Buddy, that's fantastic, man. I mean, Chris hit it around the head, though, bro. What this is about. It's about purpose and being responsible to living your purpose. You spoke about it earlier about, you know, and it's biblical. God give gifts. Everybody's got different gifts, right? And it's actually, you know, tying into that gift. Yes. And then, but the gift is not the gift just for you. The gift is for you to share with everybody else, right? And then they got gifts that they should be sharing with everybody else. And that's how we grow collectively. So, buddy, I'm just so blessed for you to be here and just so enamored with your how you were brought up, and you're definitely living in your purpose. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what is CoBiz Richmond? What is that? What are you doing with that, and why is that something the community needs?
CoBiz Richmond is a nonprofit co-working business incubator hub located in the city of Richmond, California. If anyone reads the book, The Color of Law, the first chapter literally talks about redlining, literally being the ground zero in some ways of what it looks like. And people don't really think about the California, the Bay Area, as a place where redlining was occurring. But we can't forget there was a great migration of our people from the South, Chicago, right, to the West Coast, to go literally work in the different shipyards and help us win World War II when it comes down to it, right? But unfortunately, our communities were once thriving, and we look across the country, we're like, what happened to the Black people? What happened to our spaces? What happened to our infrastructure for business? What happened to our infrastructure of like just connectivity? And so to me, CoBiz was a opportunity to kind of put a signal out. We can have these type of hubs where we can get access to the best practices for running our business, for establishing our nonprofits, for taking our creative endeavors and not just being great talent, but being great businessmen and businesswomen of our talent, for also having safe space where our kids can be incubated to be exposed to, oh, look at that. That's a venture capitalist right there. Oh, that's a lawyer. Oh, that's someone that helps those who are food insecure. Like, exposure creates a different mindset, right? And the intention of this space is that we have literally sometimes a VC walks in. We may have a returning citizen. We may have a novice entrepreneur. We may have a seasoned nonprofit leader come into the space, and they all get a chance to interact, to have time to actually realize, like, you know what? I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. But there are resources that we both bring to the table that are valuable, and now we have a chance to exchange and really restore the fabric of what community looks like. And that's the intention of what CoBiz is. So you can get an office space, a meeting space, you have event space, but then you have business incubation, whether it's to start a business, start a nonprofit, or maybe you want to go to school. You're like, oh, you're going to school. Okay, well, what's your strategy? Strategy? Why have to need a strategy? Bro, the other kids going to school from the other communities, like, they have different privileges. So you need to come in with some intention. What's your plan for getting internships during the school year, during the summertime? What classes are you taking, right? We need to bring that level of strategy to the things that we do, so that we're not having the same conversation 50 years from now and it's like Chris Jr. and Tony Jr. and Wesley Jr. talking about the same thing. Like, I don't want to be a part of that.
Let me say this, man, because I definitely want to get into CoBiz versus the gatekeepers, because that seems to be a theme that you rally for. But more importantly, in the who the hell you think you are, did you realize that your fight with AT&T was going to bring fiber to so many of your community fellows and things of that nature when you went toe-to-toe and got that fiber taken care of there?
You know, man, it's crazy because when you're in it, you're just like, hey, it has to get done. Because, for example, it can't be a modern place and we're like on – there's no internet. Like, we would
dial up. Yeah.
I can't.
Two cups in the stream.
Ain't gonna
work,
right? But I also know when there's change, there's going to be a confrontation in some way. Or there's going to be some type of roll your sleeves and kind of, like, really dig your toes in a little bit. And to see the fiber come into this area and then other stakeholders being able to leverage it as well. It's important because when I try to get a backup network, they're like, hey, it's going to cost $40,000 to do a backup broadband network to come across the street to our area. And I'm like, well, things can be cost prohibitive to those of us who are trying to make change in our communities, right? Is it possible? It is. Does it require – does things fit into a 9-to-5 workday? It does not. Just like parenting, it's not going to always – sometimes you got to wake up at 3 o'clock and take care of the child, right? And so for those of us that are saying we want to see differences in our communities, we got to bring that same fire into our families. And then what is your church? What is the local AAU team? The Boys and Girls Club? Like, whatever it is. It's not about, like, for me, it's not about changing the world. It's just about within the arm's reach of the ability that God gives me, can I contribute to the infrastructure that I saw? You know, I saw when people saw the elders, they had respect for them. Like, I saw that. I don't want anything less than that. I saw when kids recognize, like, you know what? My parents are working hard, so I need to work hard. Like, we kind of lost a little bit of those basic things it's nothing special about it. But we can, by us being as adults intentional, it can put an example to the kids to be intentional. And by having respect, it's like, you know what? Our parents are getting older, but we take care of our parents. We're not going to just dismiss them. Like, these things are important things that I just want to see come back. And if they do, I think everything else will take care of itself.
But I'll say this. It's difficult as a pioneer when you don't have a mentor or a blueprint or a game plan that's established for you. You went out and did that. Did you know it was going to have those tentacles and those ancillary effects because of your anointment to just go get it? Did you realize you was building up a whole community with this fiber? Or was you just trying to get hooked up at your crib?
So I knew the impact of... I was aware of the impact of when you, for example, it's a business decision for them, right? They want to, sorry, I just realized my laptop's trying to lose battery. It's also business opportunities for them, right? They bring the fiber, not just the one-to-one business, they bring it to a community, right? They bring it into an area. Personally, when you trailblaze, not only say trailblaze, but when you're trying to do something that maybe everyone's not doing, you're gonna make mistakes. Some of the things that I've done haven't necessarily financially benefited me, but I also understand that I'm doing work for a time beyond this time, and I have to be at peace with that. That's my walk. That's not everybody else's walk, right? You have to do what you know God is calling you to do. For some people, it might just be, hey, be a great father that can provide, right? That's powerful. If we just learn how to respect each other and the things that we bring to the table, it just be like we can just focus on what is important. We won't have the same trying to compete with each other. And I'm like, I want to be at a table with a bunch of kings and queens, not just be, hey, you know what, son, you're gonna be the only one in the room. Like, I don't want to continue and to say that. Like, that's ridiculous to me.
Right. What's next for CoBiz, my brother? Where are you looking to take it?
Ultimately, I would love to set it up for sustainability for the next 5 to 10 years. When it comes to economic development, CoBiz launched in November 2019, a few months before the pandemic, in the opportunity zone. So that means the economic outcomes and social outcomes were already below the state and national level. And then we experienced COVID, and then we had the high inflation, and now we're dealing with a new administration that has had some ripple effects when it comes to the economy, right? I know the value of what has been established here. I've seen novice entrepreneurs establish contracts with the state, getting 6- and 7-figure opportunities. I've seen it with my own eyes. I would love to know that those that see the power of that recognize change in communities don't happen in 5 years or 6 years. 10, 15, 20-year walk, and to have the right partners that want to invest to see those outcomes optimized. I'm not interested in no band-aid, pat on the back, you guys are doing a little good job over here. No, I want to see folks build an institution so that when our kids need internships, they have the internships. They need the apprenticeships. They have it. Hey, we need the financial capital. There are actually things available that are there to ensure that we receive that capital. Something as simple as having the babysitting services adequate to take care of the families that have to work two or three jobs. Like, this is what it's about, not us complaining that we can't do anything. And so for me with CoBiz, find the right partners that want to build, and if they want to bring a model of this to their own community, 8th Ward, Baltimore, Camden, wherever the case is, we need these type of places. It doesn't have to be called CoBiz, but we need these type of spaces for our people to multiply.
Let me ask you this, though, because you've steadfast in what your dream was and what your anointment was in this regard. But although CoBiz opened up in 2019, you started doing stuff in 2016. What was the time in them 3 years that you felt tested by the good Lord, where you felt like, man, he putting it on me right now, and I don't know if we're going to be able to make it? Can you give us a little bit of that? Because people who want to be like you, they don't always have
buddy,
the fortitude or the parenting.
To see it through. On the head. Right on the head, bro. Because here's the thing. And again, I don't want to act like you just take it for granted, but you just had all the answers, anything like that, or you're fearless, right? We know you don't have all the answers. But a lot of times, man, people, to Chris's point, their fear stops them from moving forward, right? They may be anointed. They may have a gift. They may have a purpose. And, you know, but at the end of the day, they for whatever reason, I can't do that. Or I tried it and it did. I didn't get quick to success. Right. So that's now right. My door's closed for me, right? And what we're hearing you say since you've been on here is like, look, man, at the end of the day, doors never close. You got to keep banging. You got to believe this. You got to do that. You got to tack this, tack that. So just back to, I didn't mean to hijack the question, but we definitely would love to know that, my brother.
You know, I personally have seen the lack of infrastructure has made my journey take longer. And still, I'm still on my journey. I've seen it, whether it's in the VC space, trying to secure capital, whether in corporate America, trying to get that opportunity that you know you're more than capable of doing, but you know that you're not one of the boys. I've seen it in graduate school. I've seen it in undergrad. I've seen it not just for myself. When people say, you know what? There's a lot of sisters in higher education getting these graduate degrees, but where the brothers at? And I'm like, well, I know plenty of brothers that had the credentials and they were not accepted. That stuff pisses me off to the point that I'm like, if I'm a man, am I going to do something about it? Or am I just going to complain? So for me, that's stronger than my fear when it comes down to it. I'm a, God willing, have kids and grandkids, and they're going to have friends. And I would love to know that when they say, well, Pops, what did you do? Or granddaddy, what did you do? I said, man, you know, whether I succeeded or not, I can say I tried. And as men, I just don't see how we can command authority, but we don't come to the table to do something different. To say, you know what? I see the school needs, for example, when our young people get in trouble at school, why can't 5 or 10 of us show up in the principal's office when we know our kids get penalized differently to say, hey, you know what? There's an army behind this kid. There's little things. I'm an advisory board for the Hidden Genius Project here in Richmond. And so I was like, hey, y'all, we know funding's going to be impacted. Why can't we put a call to action, $5 a month, get 10,000 brothers to commit $5 a month to help have them have a pool of money that has no restrictions for them so they can support the work that they're doing. These are small, tangible things that we can do that doesn't require any fanfare, doesn't require any press. It's just us as men saying, that's what men in other communities do. Why can't we do that? So that's what's stronger. That's the motivation for me.
So first of all, that's very powerful that you are able to stay the course and understand. See, the thing that I think is kind of undertoned or understated is your ability to get into these spaces, peep the scene, and see how I can apply what I'm learning now to later. That vision, where there is no vision, the people will perish, right? And your visionary leadership helps you to move in these spaces. But more importantly, you talked about relationships. And when we talk about from 2016 and 2019, you was cobbling together bits and pieces and doing a Frankenstein's monster on this as it related to investing capital, mentoring, lessons learned, networking. It wasn't all about you by you. Everything don't say Wesley Alexander Incorporated, and that's it, and I'm standing on it. That level of lack of ego, how important is that for you, for us to be successful collectively and sustained success be implemented?
I mean, it's kind of funny. It seems kind of basic in a way. Like if you're gonna try to win the championship, let's say you play ball, you're trying to win the championship. If it's all about you, do you really think your teammates are gonna go hard for you? Like if you're married and it's all about you, you think your spouse or your lady's going really, like, when you need that extra loving, that she's going to give you that extra loving? Like, she's not, bro. Like, it comes a point in time where we just have to recognize your ego is there for a reason, but you have to learn how to master it. You know, this old saying, know thyself, right? You have to really work on your strengths and your weaknesses. We are all faulty people. Like, we all sin. We all have strengths and weaknesses. But there comes a point, like, what are we trying to achieve? If you want your household to be healthy and strong, are you moving away to create the best atmosphere for your wife to thrive and for your kids to thrive? When you step outside your neighborhood, are you also representing, like, what you represent? Are you showing it in terms of how you take care of your household, how you take care of your home, how you take care of the yard? Right? It's like little things. The ego is just destructive. I literally have come across it for myself, as well as we're dealing with stakeholders that speak the speak. Like, they can speak the talk. Like, they can say, we got to do this and we got to do that, and then their actions do not show because they want to be the head person in charge. But I'm like, listen, bro, we don't own anything. So what are we in charge of? Like, it's crazy to me, to be honest with you. We have so much talent and so much value. And there was a time in this country we owned the hospitals, we owned the sports teams, you know, we owned the schools. Like, we had control of our destiny. Unfortunately, we gave that up in some ways. But I always say, whatever was destroyed can be rebuilt, can be restored. But we just got to move with a certain intention and purpose. And the ego, there ain't no time for it. I want all the credit because I'm the one who came with the idea. The idea just came to you. It didn't originate with you. Like, put yourself, get some perspective. Now, I want to say, some of us haven't had a chance to be appreciated. And it's important for us to appreciate the sacrifices of our elders, of our parents, of a young man who's coming up or a young girl coming up, and they see their brilliance. Like, help their star shine. But if you teach them values, they will understand that as they come up, they can bring the tide with them and vice versa. But we're not having these conversations anymore. We're just reinforcing the selfish mindset. And I just want to see it change.
Yeah, bro. And look, here's the thing. You know, there's an old saying, common sense ain't common.
Yeah.
Okay, so one person can say, this shit just makes sense to me. All right, and it does. But for everybody else, it may not make sense. And it's not that it's, to your point, that it's hard to grasp. It's just, bro, here's the thing. And this is where, and you spoke about it in the beginning of this episode. You know, it's divide and conquer.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if we can divide them, and we can get them, to your point, become, care about themselves, all right? And it's every man for themselves. And all those things, then we can control them. And so at the end of the day, you know, when Chris and I are sitting here listening to you, and we love, but we could talk all day, all night, and obviously we see, just based on your background and where you still want to go, that you're all about community, you're all about bringing people together, you're thinking, you're future-oriented, all those things. And there's other, let's be fair though too, right? There's other brothers and sisters who are doing things, similar things, and they have the same type of mindset, right? Yes. The challenge though is that if your family didn't bring you up that way, if you grew up and it was every man for themselves in the house, then how are you gonna go outside? Yeah. If you grew up and you didn't see a lot of opportunity, and then now you got opportunity, you're gonna be more about, that's my idea. That's my, you know, I gotta worry about me first, right? Because you're not thinking community. And so our challenges are more grassroots from the earth, right? Coming out. You just got to finish saying, we had this, we had that, we had this, and then we kind of went through. I don't think that's, there's probably several groups that they're consistent throughout, but not really. Because even if you look at the Bible, right, there's been, you know, you look at the Jews, right? They were, God saved me, God saved me, Abraham. And right then God blessed them, all right? And then generations start saying, God who? All right? And they, so it's just, you know, because you, the next generation, it becomes, you coddle them, you give them what they to your point, we kind of forget how we got here, right? Now there's generations don't even know their own black history.
I know.
Don't even know. They're letting stuff happen from an administration standpoint, and they think it's okay. They don't. What are you talking about? Why? I don't see nothing happening and this and that, because they're getting further away from where the root is. And that's the scary part. And so having brothers like you come on and chat about it, right? And to bring this essence, try to bring the rubber band back this way, because it's stretching, let's be fair. It's stretching. And trying to bring it back and say, hey, you can still do what you want. All right? What's that old saying? Life is like a boomerang. Whatever you throw out eventually comes back, right, my brother? So I just wanted to throw that in, because I know it's common sense to you, and it could be common sense to a lot of people. A lot of people, it's not common sense for various. Now, are there some ego-driven people? Absolutely. That grew up and their family was like, hey, take care of everybody. It's not, absolutely. So that's always going to be a case. That's in every group.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's a lot that has to do with our core and how people are brought up, and being about community from the onset. And that's what you were about. That's what, how your family brought you up.
Yeah, I mean, it comes a point in time where I think, as all of us as men, what is how we're raised, but then we also learn from other people. We get a chance to make a decision. And it comes a point in time where we have to make peace with our childhood, whether we received everything or not, and decide who do we want to be and what do we want to be. And that's the beauty of like having elders or having sports or having camps, where you get a chance to get that exposure to, like, to be exposed to different things. And a lot of those things were stripped out of our communities. Boys and Girls Clubs were closed. There's different things that help, but we have to restore the family. So no matter what I'm doing or anyone else is doing, if we don't help the family be successful, none of this is worth it. The family is the heart of everything. And if people are wise, they will know that you need to have God centered within your family if you want to create things that are sustainable. So I'm hoping that, you know, my efforts aren't in vain. I'm also, like, talking to God about stuff. You know, if he needs me to pivot, he's like, hey, I need you to stop doing everything you're doing. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. But I'm at least going to try my best to be of service in the process.
What's up? That's what's up. So as we wrap up, let me ask you this. How can a Black Executive Perspective podcast help you to remain obedient?
You know, a lot of times I'm in, I'm talking to people about the impact of the work to people who don't understand the significance of it, because they either haven't lived it or they don't look like you and I. And some of the people that do look like you and I, sometimes they just don't care. A lot of times they don't care. In fact, they feel like gatekeepers. So if there are stakeholders out there who have worked hard to establish themselves and really want to build. Cause my saying is, let's build. I think the work that we're doing here at CoBiz is we're pandemic tested. There was nothing here that was given to us. We kept the doors open literally during the pandemic to serve, to ensure people knew how to navigate the EIDL loans and the PPP and just different things, food insecure, like, we did the work. And so it would be nice to have some brothers and sisters that understand the opportunity of entrepreneurship, understand the importance of safe space, understand the importance of access to capital and how to use that in a way that's transformative, to rally behind us so that we can have independence. And I mean real independence, so that we can do the work, not kind of good, but we can maximize the outcomes and be able to tell the stories so that people can say, oh, that, you know, they were here and they did a little something. Nah, we trying to, no, like, let's do the real work. That's how you guys can help, for sure.
Absolutely, my brother. So look, man, I love it. More importantly, we love you. And you're a blessing, my brother, so flat out, right? And obviously, we're just speaking, you know, based on who you are and what your purpose is, but more importantly, what you're looking to do moving forward. So we really appreciate you coming on a Black Executive Perspective podcast and sharing. Let me ask you this real quick. If somebody wanted to learn more about CoBiz or reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah, definitely. If you want to visit the website, it's www.cobizrichmond. That's C as in cat, O as in Oscar, B as in boy, I as in intel, Z as in zebra, richmond.com. And if you wanted to connect with me, you can connect with me via LinkedIn, Wesley Alexander. I forgot that exact handle. I think it's like ESQMBA at the end of it, if I recall. Or if you just want to send me an email, wesley@cobizrichmond.com. I will respond. If it takes a little while, just, you know, give me some grace. It's a small team here trying to make things happen. But, yeah, definitely look forward to connecting with anyone who's, you know, whether I could be a resource to you or a resource to me, either one.
Well, look, my brother, I think that's awesome. Plus, to be fair, we'll chat offline because I think there's some things that we could do, we can collaborate together on. In terms of what you're doing and what a Black Executive Perspective podcast mission is. So I think there's a bright future for both of us. But more importantly, I know there's a bright future for you, my brother. So we want to thank you for appearing on a Black Executive Perspective podcast and sharing your perspective.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to share. I really love what you guys are doing. It's for a lot of young brothers I know that are trying to make moves. This is a game changer because a lot of us didn't have this type of platform to learn from. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, my brother. You sit tight. So I think it's now time for
Tony's Tidbit.
And so the tidbit today, purpose is not about chasing titles. It's about stewarding your gifts under pressure. Build more where you stand. Serve where you are being called. And never trade your integrity for access. And you heard a lot of that from our brother, Wesley Alexander.
Absolutely. It was a great, great episode. But before you like and subscribe now, we want to make sure you check out the other shows on a Black Executive Perspective Network portfolio. You want to check out Need to Know with Dr. Nsinga Burton, where she brings a powerhouse of information that shapens our community. You want to check out Pull Up Speak Up, where we have a round table of diverse voices that have conversations that others choose to avoid. And we want you to check out A Mixed Executive Perspective with Grace Food and Corey, where she's exploring identity as a biracial leader in this world at the highest level. Totally open, totally supportive, totally magnificent. You want to check out everything that we have to offer here.
Absolutely. And look, no matter what show you tap into, our mission stays the same. Of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable through different voices, different perspectives. But like my boy Wesley, we have one purpose.
But we would be remiss if we let you get out of here without talking about our call to action. Our goal here is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we ask for everyone to embrace LESS, that's less. The L is for learn. You want to educate yourself on racial, cultural, societal nuances. You don't want to talk about it. You want to be about it, like Wes Alexander.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, you could be more empathetic to your friends and colleagues and people that you just met, because now you can put yourself in their shoes.
And the first S stands for share. You want to share your insights, enlighten others. Don't hide it, divide it, because exposure expands expectations.
Absolutely. And the final S stands for stop. We want everyone to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. This is something that every person can do. And it is so easy as at the Sunday dinner table. If Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something that's inappropriate, instead of sitting there with your mouth open or you giggling, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, LESS, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And guess what? We all will see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
Once again, we appreciate you tuning in to this episode. We want you to check us out in our previous episodes in the catalog. Go look at some good stuff we have. We got some great stuff coming up in the future. But go to the website. Want to sign up for the newsletter, A Monthly Perspective. Check that out. Get signed up. We'll get that out to you. Leave us a review and let us know what you'd like to hear about. And subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And where can they find us, Tony?
My brother, you can find the Black Executive Perspective podcast on Apple, YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at A Black Exec. For our fabulous guests, my man, the CEO of CoBiz Richmond, Wesley Alexander, and for my boy down in Dallas, the co-host with the most, my man, Chris P. Reed, I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We definitely learned about it. We had a great time with Wesley about it. We love you, and now we're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.